think bunting in appropriate times within sacrifice situations. You know, I think we're leading the league in runs scored the first half, and you know, the second half we weren't as good offensively. I think missing a couple guys impacted that, but yeah, I think then when the in a sack situation late in the game it presents itself, I think it is something that we'll continue to do. I'd like to see us bunt for a hit a little bit more. I'd like to see us run a little bit more this year also. So, you know, a lot of it's personnel driven as well, but I would like to see us definitely run more.
So that's the Ghost of Christmas Past, Brandon Hyde, a voice from the past. I think of spring training talking about his desire to have this team run more.
I'd rather listen to him read Christmas carols than have to listen to Manzolino actually talk about baseball when these pathetic losses are over.
So the Orioles currently sit tied for 16th in stolen bases. They're tied with the San Diego Padres. They were supposed to run. Now, Jorge Mateo got hurt. He was running. But where did the go-go O's go?
It's another Ponzi scheme, pipe dream. You know, don't believe what they say, believe what they do. Here's the number that stands out to me. If you take Jorge Mateo out of the equation, he stole 14 bases on 15 attempts. This team outside of Jorge Mateo has a success rate of 70.5%, which would be second worst in baseball. Like,
Jackson Holliday has a big hand in that. What's that, 50%?
11 success and 9 thrown out. But that's our leadoff hitter.
Yeah,
and
I know.
He's got 95th percentile straight line speed. So that's an indictment of them. Look, you want to talk about stolen base attempts? League average, 15th. Nothing special about that. They're not even trying to do it as much as they should. If you add Jorge Mateo in, 74% success rate, that's only 23rd in baseball. And if you look at other metrics like extra bases taken, opportunities to go first to third when they're there, and how often they do it, they rank 23rd in Major League Baseball in bases taken total. They're just league average in extra bases taken. And they've also been picked off 13 times, which is bottom five in baseball. So there's nothing special about any of that. It's an area where they have young athletic kids, and they're not supposed to look like a slow pitch softball team, yet they look like a slow pitch softball team.
Yeah, you look at Gunnar Henderson, 81st percentile in sprint speed. Jackson Holliday, 83rd percentile in sprint speed. Jordan Westberg, 91st percentile in sprint speed. And obviously he's missed a lot of time, but he only has 3 stolen base attempts. Part of it is these guys got to learn how to run the bases.
And they need to get on base more.
And get on base more. But down the stretch, look, you lost Cedric Mullins. Mateo's still banged up. Kowser's banged up. But when this team is fully healthy, they have guys that can run. This is an athletic team, but they just don't tap into it.
This next coaching staff ideally has someone on it who stole bases at the major league level before they made it really easy for you to steal bases at the major league level. Like someone who can talk to them about mindset, someone who has
like a Gary Pettis
who
type,
really knows how to time up a pitcher and time up a catcher and all the nuance that goes into it. It's crazy to me that they did nothing but draft shortstops and speedy kids and told you we want shape-shifting, interchangeable athletic players, and they can't get on base and they can't take an extra base and they don't know how to run the bases and they get picked off more than they steal bases. That again, these should all be fireable offenses for Michael Elias.
Yeah, there are so many troubling things about the way this whole thing has been set up and the base running part of it because, Jason, as you said, they drafted fast, twitchy kids that were supposed to be able to run the bases, and the rules allow them to make it easier to run the bases, and yet we see none of it.
No, and I mean, they've certainly seemingly done a lot of whispering and about, you know, tearing people down like Cedric Mullins on the way out, but let me see them replace. I will believe that they can replace Cedric Mullins when we see it. They're so far from replacing Cedric Mullins, it's sickening. They don't have one outfielder who can play the outfield right now, let alone a center fielder, let alone an everyday center fielder. They don't have an everyday left fielder, an everyday right fielder. They seem incapable of teaching kids how to catch the ball and how to man their position at the minor league levels all the way through. It's ugly. It's pathetic. It's shameful. And they have no feel for instilling fundamentals in these kids whatsoever.
But that's where it gets back to what Ken said. You need multiple outfielders. You need a legit bat in the middle of this lineup, a brand new bullpen, starting pitchers, and you need this quote-unquote core to be playing a heck of a lot better.
But let's be real. The odds of that happening, if Elias is fired, Elias has dug them such a hole. This owner is not saying, let's go get a $100 million pitcher. Let's trade four prospects for a starting pitcher. Let's go get a legitimate number four hitting thumper, right? And a plus-plus right fielder who makes $12 million a year. That's not happening.
No. They're going
while
to
while Gunner gets a raise and everybody gets their arbitration raises. And, oh, yeah, and we need a setup guy and a closer. Yeah. There's no way.
No, they have so much work.
There's no way that's happening.
No, it's not. They have, like, this idea that this is a blip and they're going to contend next year. They have so much work to do.
They're tanking again for draft picks.
Yeah, that's fun. Coming up next, we get back to football. At least the Ravens seem to be positive. Brian Billick, he's a Super Bowl winning coach for the Baltimore Ravens. In the Ravens Ring of Honor, he joins us next here on The Fan.